Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Verse number one of our text, we notice, man, the disciples are not just asking a question. The disciples are arguing among themselves. Man, the disciples are not just looking for an answer. The disciples are arguing among themselves. Man, they're trying to find out who it is among them that is the greatest. Look at the end of verse number one. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? They're not just discussing this topic. It's not just a question being asked. They're debating. They're arguing. There is contention among them. Man, Philippians chapter 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so instead of saying, man, is there anyone that I should be esteeming? Is there anyone that I should be honoring? Man, they're asking, who am I better than? On the ranking charts of the kingdom of heaven, where do I stand? Who is the greatest? As opposed to each one esteeming the other. Man, they are individually esteeming themselves. Man, who is the greatest? The answer ought to be, who cares? Who cares who the greatest is? Who cares who the biggest is? Who cares who the best is? But where do I rank? Where do I stand? And chronologically, how this falls in the life of Christ. Man, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on the mountain with Jesus, the Mount of Transfiguration, they make their way down. And you'll remember from Matthew 17, when they got to the bottom, there was a man whose son was throwing himself into the fire, throwing himself into the water, throwing himself into the fire, throwing himself into the water. And Jesus' disciples had tried to cast the demon out of the boy, but they could not. But they could not. And at the same time, Mark tells us in his account, man, that the disciples come into contact with another follower of Christ, one that is not among them. And this one, this follower of Christ who is not among the 12, man, he is able to cast out many devils. He's able to cast out many demons. But here are the many disciples. They're not able to cast out one demon. And here is this one disciple who's not in the group. He's not in the clique. He's not one of the 12. But he's able to cast out many, and these disciples begin to argue, they begin to debate, they begin to discuss, who is it that is actually the greatest? Man, we know Jesus Christ, but we cannot do what that guy does. Man, why can he do more than us? Man, how many of you learned it's generally those who can't that attack the ones that can? It's generally the ones that won't that attack the one that will. It's generally the person who is sitting and soaking and souring and stewing that attacks the one that is serving. That's generally how it goes. Man, and it's here it is, this man, this one that is not among them. He's able to cast out many demons. He's able to cast out many devils. But here are the 12 who walk with Jesus. Man, they are not able to cast out even one. They're not even able to get rid of one demon in this one little boy. They're not even able to deal with the one. The many can't cast out the one, but the one can cast out the many. So who is it then that is the greatest? You see how it's building? Man, do you see how this attacks their pride? This attacks their understanding of their self-worth. Man, all of a sudden, they thought they were great. They thought they were big. They thought they were the top dog, the head honcho, the big cheese. Man, they thought they were that guy. And all of a sudden, they can't even cast out a demon out of a boy. But here's this one that they did not know who he was. They even tried to prevent him, Mark says. They tried to say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that because you're not with us. You're not doing it our way. You're not with us. You're not doing it our way. You can't do that. But who then really is the greatest? And they start arguing. They start debating. can see the pride. Look at verse number 7. Verse 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." Man, look at verse 15. Verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," he shall trespass against thee. Look at verse 21. Verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me?" Man, the number one, write it down in your notes. Number one, the pride that causes offense. The pride that causes offense. The wisest man to ever live in all the world is a man by the name of King Solomon. Solomon writes the letter or the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Solomon writes that the wisest man to ever live, and the wisest man to ever live says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Man, only by pride. A proud person has that kind of spirit. The kind of spirit that's on display in verse number 1. Man, the kind of spirit that says, "I want to be the greatest. I want to be the best. I want to be the biggest. I want to be the most important. If it's my way or no way, I'm the biggest. I'm the best. I'm always right." Man, that kind of spirit, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes arguing, comes debating, fighting, comes offense. Only by pride. So here's what we're going to do. We'll contrast the pride as displayed in this chapter, the pride versus the position that Christ calls us to. Okay, so that's A, B, C, D, however many are there. That's what we're going to do. Man, the contrast and comparison between the pride that exists that creates these problems, these offenses, the pride versus the position that Christ calls us to. Notice first, the pride that creates hostility. Man, at the same time, Jesus is performing these miracles. Peter, James, and John have just seen Jesus revealed in his glory on the mountain. They stood there. They talked with Moses. Man, he reflected. They talked with Elijah. He represented the glory of God. But they've seen Jesus as the revelation of the glory of God. They come down. Jesus does a miracle in the valley. Peter gets himself in trouble. Jesus provides miraculously for Peter's problem. And man, at the same time, they're arguing. Yeah, but who is the greatest? Who's the best? Who's the head honcho? Man, listen, those who are closest to Christ are those who are contentious. That's the revelation of the passage. Those who should have been most mature, those who should have been more spiritual, those who have walked with Jesus the longest, man, those are the ones who have this contentious spirit. Man, they're the ones debating who's better, who's worse, who's more spiritual. I mean, in your spiritual top 10, am I in the top 10? Am I in the top 10? The final four, the playoffs, am I in the top 10? Man, they're arguing, they're debating, there's contention. Hey, listen, staff member. Those who should be the most mature, often the most contentious. Hey, listen, pastor, Sunday school teacher, choir member, deacon, usher, man, faithful attender, man, been in church 20 years, pastor, been coming for 20 years. Listen, those who are most mature often are the most contentious. Man, those who have been around the longest often have that spirit, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. Man, that is not wise. Man, who is the greatest? Man, who is the greatest? Those who are arguing, pride that brings hostility among the disciples. Man, this hostility that exists between Peter, James, and John. Man, Peter, James, or John and James in a minute, they'll even get their mom involved in this conversation. Well, you say, "I'm not the greatest." Well, mommy, he said I'm not the greatest. Mom and dad come rushing down to the school office, and they're going to take care of everything really fast. Man, they even get mom and dad involved in the conversation. Man, those who are closest, man, those who should have known better, those who are more mature, who should have responded in a different way, they're the ones causing the contention, the problem. Man, the pride of hostility. Man, look at verse number 2. Look at verse number 2, the position of humility. The pride of hostility. Number 2, the position of humility. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him, the little child, in the midst of them. Man, a little child who hasn't built anything. Man, a little child who hasn't done anything, a little child who hasn't accomplished anything. Man, this is a perfect visual aid. Jesus is saying, do you want to know who the greatest is? You're going about it the wrong way. Yeah, but we want to know who the greatest is. If you want to know who the greatest is, you're going about it the wrong way. Yeah, but is he greater than me because he can cast out more demons? Is he greater than me because he has more power over the devils of hell? Man, is he more powerful than me because I couldn't even cast out this one demon out of this one boy? Man, is he greater than me? Man, the fact that you're even asking that question shows us that you don't understand greatness in the kingdom of God. That you would even compare and measure and adjust in that way teaches us, man, that you are going about this the wrong way. Man, he brings a little child who's done nothing, built nothing, accomplished nothing. Man, what's he teaching us? He's teaching us a great principle. You should write this down. Our worth is not based on our work. Our worth is not based on our work. Our worth is, spiritually speaking, our worth is not evaluated based on our work. See, false religion sets this premise. You're more valuable to God. You're more worth it to God the more work you do. And as long as you can keep up enough good works, and as long as you can do enough performance, and as long as you can have enough religious deeds, and as long as you're moral enough or civil enough, as long as you have this religiousness, man, then you're of more value to God. And in the end, what you hope is that your work, that it outweighs all the wrongdoing. Man, that's false religion. Man, the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, man, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies that he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Man, our worth, spiritually speaking, our worth is not seen in our work. Man, our worth is only seen in one place. Do you want to know what you're worth to God? Man, God sent Jesus to die for you. Amen. Our worth is seen in one place, in that the Lord Jesus Christ, man, even though he was equal to the Father, man, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in likeness as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In fact, the only thing, before salvation, the only thing I ever did was sin. Man, before salvation, the only thing I ever built was a mess. Man, even my righteousness, Isaiah says, even the good things, even the things that I would be proud of, even those things, man, they were tainted with sin, man, because they were as filthy rags. They were filthy rags. Even the good stuff was bad stuff before Christ. Even the good stuff was bad stuff before Christ. Why? Because we're trying to build up our pride. Man, we're trying to evaluate our worth based on our work. Man, the only thing we did before Christ was sin. But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Man, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place. Man, that grace that they just sang about a moment ago, that grace, God's grace. Man, look at verse number 4. And verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Man, the citizens of heaven are children of the king. Man, the greatest in the kingdom is the one who humbles himself. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who humbles himself, because God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. You see, if you're standing here going, man, I'm worth something because look how much I've done. I'm worth it to God because look at all my good works. Man, I'm worth it because look at my morality or my civility or my religiosity. Man, I'm worth it. Man, God resisteth the proud. Man, but to the person who is humble, man, God gives grace. Man, it's that Pharisee standing in the synagogue. Thank you, God, that I am not like these sinners. And it's that man who's beating his chest. And Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, one man went back to his house justified, and it was not the Pharisee. It was not the Pharisee. Man, because God resisteth the proud, he gives grace. He gives grace to the humble. Man, so the pride The pride that causes hostility. Man, number two, the contrast. Let her be there. Man, the position of humility that Christ calls us to. Man, look at verse number six. Man, the pride that causes hurt. Look at verse six. And whoso shall offend one of these little ones. Let's talk about this word offend for a second. This word offend does not mean you offended me. You didn't shake my hand or you walked by me without saying hi, or you took my parking place, or you're sitting in my seat. That person's in my seat. I sit there every Sunday, but they've offended me. No, that word offend means to cause to stumble, not to make upset. The word offend in the Bible, to cause to stumble, to cause to fall. That word means to cause to fall, to trip up, to trip somebody as they are progressing through life. Man, to cause to stumble, not just to make upset. Man, we've had a lot of people who've made us upset. You've offended me. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Man, the same idea there. It's not just you hurt my feelings. You said mean words to me and you hurt my feelings. No. That's to trip up. That's to cause to stumble. Man, he says, woe to this person who shall offend. Look at verse 6. Offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Man, whoso offends, trips up, causes to stumble, rejects, hurts, pushes down the steps. Whoso offends someone that believes in me, watch me. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow, that sounds harsh. Does anybody agree? That sounds pretty harsh. Man, better than tripping someone up, causing someone to stumble, better than being a stumbling block to those around you, your wife, your kids, your spouse, your husband, your friends, your mom, your dad, your coworkers, better than tripping them up, man, better it were for you that a millstone were tied around your neck, that a weight were tied around your neck and you were thrown into the water. Sounds like something off like the mafia, give him some concrete shoes and throw him in, drop him off the bridge, let him sink to the bottom. Man, better for you that would happen than for you to trip someone up. And here's why this sounds harsh to us, right? Here's why this sounds harsh. Because we have a diminishing view of God. We have a diminishing view of God. And we have an increasing view of ourselves. We think ourselves to be more important, best, first. Man, my way, what I want, well, how I see it. Man, we see ourselves that way. We think ourselves to be much when we are actually little, and we think God to be little when he is actually infinite. Make sure you should write this down. To sin against an infinite God should bring infinite consequences. It's only right. Man, the person who is wrong, the person who has been offended or hurt, the person who's been sinned against, man, to sin against an infinite God, it should bring. I mean, that's the right response. If you sinned against an infinite God, there should be an infinite consequence. And the Bible teaches us what this consequence is. It's separation from God in a place that the Bible refers to as hell, also known as the second death. Man, to sin against God, to reject God, his love, his care, his compassion, his grace, like we just talked about last point, to reject that and not humble yourself, but to be full with pride, to say, I can make it on my own, I can get to God on my own, to sin against an infinite God brings an infinite punishment in our lives. This is no different here. It's no different here, man. Better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. Man, Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. You remember that? I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I will be exalted. Man, and what did that do in Lucifer? Man, that caused Lucifer to have a millstone hanged about his neck and to be thrown out of heaven. Man, to have a millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown out so that he was kicked out, rejected from heaven. Why? Because he was lifted up with pride. Man, if all we're thinking is who's the best, who's the greatest, who's the holiest, who's done the most, man, am I better than her? Am I better than him? If that's all we're doing, we've disqualified ourselves from the conversation. We've disqualified ourselves from the conversation. Man, the pride of hostility, man, that creates hostility. The position, Christ wants us to have the position of humility. The pride that causes hurt, man, number four, whatever it is, letter D, right? Man, the position of helpfulness. Christ wants us in a position of helpfulness. Look at verse 7. Man, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Hey, hear me, church. Hurt comes to us, but it should not go through us. Amen. That's what he's saying. Hurt comes to us, but it should not go through us. Man, I got hurt. I got wounded. Someone says something mean to me. Somebody mistreated me. Man, so I'm going to find somebody that I can bully. I'm going to find somebody that I can hurt. I'm going to find somebody, and I'm going to tell them what it's like. I'm going to show them what it's like. Man, hurt comes to us. Man, that's what he says. Man, this offenses must needs come. Woe to thee, man, woe to thee. This is the way it is in the world. As long as there is sin in the world, there are offenses in the world. As long as there are sin, as long as there is sin in the world, there are offenses in the world. Man, hurt comes to us, but it should not go through us. We don't want to cause another brother or another sister to sin. Man, in a world where temptation already exists, in a world where we are bombarded daily with temptation, in a world where we are attacked spiritually on every front, man, the last thing we want to do is go to him, go to her, come to me, go to you, and start gossiping when I'm in the middle of fighting off my own temptation. Man, when I'm already in the middle of my own spiritual battle, the worst thing, man, the last thing we want to do, man, this person's in their own spiritual battle. The last thing we want to do is come to them and start gossiping to them about him, about her, about this, about that. And woe to you who pass on offense. That's what he's saying. He said, our approach to our brother or sister in Christ should not be, well, I just want to tell them how I feel about this thing. I mean, somebody's got to say something. And you have been crowned king. Well, I just got to tell them how I feel. Well, woe to you when that person is already struggling and wrestling and fighting their own spiritual warfare, and then along you come tripping them up, man, with your own offense. With your own offense. Man, the position that we're being called to is a position that says, man, be helpful. Be helpful to your brother. Be helpful to your sister. Man, look, the pride that can harm. Verse 8, verse 9. Wherefore, if thy hand offend thee, or if thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life whole or maimed, rather than having two hands, two feet, and to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and to be cast into hell. Man, the pride that can harm us. The pride that can harm us. The position that Christ calls us to, helpfulness. The position that Christ asks us to take, a position of humility. Man, but pride creates hostility. Pride creates hurt. Pride creates harm. Pride creates harm. The whole analogy, man, if part of your body is offending another part of your body, be careful. If a part of your body is hurting another part of your body, man, you should be really careful to make sure that you don't hurt your own body. Man, every one of us, all of us are members of one body, and that is Christ. Amen. And the part of the body that's filled with pride, the part of the body that's esteeming itself more important than the other part, the part of the body that is offending, tripping up, the other part of the body, man, here's what he's saying, it should be removed from the body. That's what he's saying. He says it should be removed from the body. Let me illustrate it this way. Watch this. We have right in this lovely box some Legos. How many of you, your kids have Legos? Let me see. How many of you, you don't even have kids, but you have Legos? Let me see. Okay. How many of you have ever stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night, right? I mean, it's just like, man, being ran through with a Lego in the bottom of the foot, right? Man, the Legos work. We literally have truckloads of Legos in my house. It's ridiculous. And they're all like in like five different crates. No one has any idea. They just build all these things. I got this nice little horse right here. And I got a man in here somewhere, but I cannot find him. Here's a little puppy dog. Look at that. Oh. You all don't mind if we just play Legos for a second, do you? Let's move all these Legos around. Man, let's build. I can't find the cowboy. I can't find the rider. But we're going to build a barn anyway, okay? Let's build a barn for the Legos, for the horse. Let's see here. I'm not really the guy to do this, but let's do it anyway, all right? Let's be. We should have got Brother Vargo up here. He could have built us a nice barn. All right. If you believe, you can achieve. That's what they say. So let's... I'm going to build, look, we're going to build this nice, man, look, at. Isn't that a good start to a barn? You should say yes, or this sermon illustration could stretch on for a long time. You should say yes if you want to get to the buffet before the Methodist, all right? Let's say, man, it's a nice, man, look, you know, the thing about the Legos, man, all of them the same size, the same shape, they're all built the same way. No one esteeming themselves more important than the other. Man, we can build something really nice. How many of you know that? We could build something, I mean, not me, but you probably could, build something really creative. Man, but along comes the Mega Block. These are for children who, these are choking hazards, okay? Man, along comes the Mega Block, and how many of you know, man, the Mega Block, it's made by Lego. Man, it has a name, like it's plastic, just like the Lego, but man, how many of you know, we aren't going to get anywhere with our barn like this? How many of you recognize, man, the barn's not going to be very stable. It's not going to be good. Why? Because it wants all the attention. It wants everything to be built around me. My way, what I want, how I see it, my preference. Man, I am esteeming myself better than all these other little Legos. I am the Mega Block, right? Man, now let's try to build our barn. Man, this is not going to turn out very good. Man, and here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what Jesus is saying. Man, when part of the body is offending, tripping up, hurting the other part of the body, man, it should be removed from the body. It should be brought out from the body. Better cut it off, cast it from you, pluck it out, cast it from you. Better for you, better for me, better for the body. Man, why? Because the work cannot get done. The work cannot get done when someone is esteeming themselves better than everybody else. Man, because the work cannot get completed when somebody says, it has to be my way. It has to be what I want. I have to be in charge. Man, 3 John. Man, John writes about a man by the name of Diophantus. And Diophantus loveth to have the preeminence. So you know John's prescription is in 3 John? Man, take Diophantus and get him out. Why? Because he wants to be in charge. He wants it his way. He loves to have the preeminence better for the body. Listen. Either the pride has to go or the person has to go. That's the way it is. That's what he's saying. Either the pride has to go or the person has to go. And here's why. Here's why. Watch. You say, that sounds harsh. That sounds mean. But here's the thing. Watch. Catch me. Follow it. Here's why. Because the work cannot be done when pride is involved. That's why. It hinders the work. It hinders the work. It keeps the cause of Christ from being preeminent. Man, it is not at the name of Diophantus that we gather together. It is not at the name of Diophantus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Diophantus is Lord of all. No, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Man, we don't sing about Diophantus at First Baptist. We sing about Jesus at First Baptist. Man, we don't sing the praises of Dave Delaney at First Baptist. We sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ at First Baptist. Amen. Man, it's not the word of David that is preached and taught and delivered and obeyed. Man, it's the word of God that's taught, delivered, and obeyed at First Baptist. Amen. Man, why? 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 Here's why. Here's why. Either the pride has to go or the person has to go. Here's why. Because spiritually minded people will go. Because spiritually minded people come to a scene like this and they go, wow, man, that guy, Diophantus, he loves to have the preeminence. I want nothing to do with that. I'm not coming to a church where we want to sing the praises of Diophantus. I'll find a church where they'll sing the praises of Christ. Listen, the person has to go, or the pride has to go. Here's why. Because if not, spiritual people will go. They'll go. He said, well, it sounds harsh. What Jesus is prescribing sounds difficult. It sounds hard. It sounds mean. I mean, cutting off your hand and your eye and your... No. Better to just get rid of the pride. Better to just become like a little child and humble yourself. Better to be that way. I mean, follow the thought. You get to Revelation, and in Revelation chapter 3, John giving us instruction about the church at the end times. And John says about that, I'm trying to find it really fast. John says about Revelation chapter 3, talking about the church, he says that Jezebel was given a place of influence and teaching. And I can't find the exact quote, but Jezebel was given a place of teaching and influence in the church, and they should have driven her from them. You see, and this is the contrast, this is the harsh. It's not just, oh, well, that person offended me, that person. No, we're talking about tripping up, hurting, causing to sin. Man, pride has to go, or that person has to go. Why? Why? Here's why. Because if not, spiritual people will go. Because spiritual people will go. Man, so the prescription here, man, pride that can harm. And listen, the goal is never rejection. The goal is relationship. Man, the goal is never rejection. The goal is not losing brothers or sisters. The goal, the stated goal, gaining brothers or sisters. Remember, listen, man, it's as extreme. That's extreme. Cutting off hands, plucking out eyes. That's as extreme as sinning against an infinite God. Hey, but remember, even though we sinned against an infinite God, God did not reject us. Man, God sent His Son to redeem us, to ransom us, to restore us. Man, God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Man, and that's the stated goal. Verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Man, that which was lost. Man, Christ prefers for us to give a position of honor. I got to go fast. Christ prefers for us to give a position of honor. Man, that's verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep? Man, now he's changing the illustration, isn't he? Man, first, citizens of heaven, man, they're children of the King. Man, now citizens of heaven, what are they? They're sheep in the fold. Man, how many of you, if a man have 100 sheep, and if one of them go astray, doth not leave the 99, goeth in the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray, and if so be that he find it, verily he shall say unto you, he that rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which were gone astray, even so it is not the will of the Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Man, look, no one person is more important than the other person. We're all little Legos. No one person is more important than the other person. We're all little Legos. Be careful of Diophantus. He's the mega block. He loves to have the preeminence. Be careful with him. Man, if he doesn't go, he causes spiritual people to go. If his pride doesn't go, then he has to go. Because if he doesn't go, spiritual people will go. Be careful of that. But listen, man, no one person is more important than the other. Man, but listen to the tone, verse 11, 12, 13, and 14. Man, we should see the other person as infinitely more valuable than ourselves. Man, why? Man, because Christ came to die for him. Because Christ came to die for her. Man, so are you following what I'm saying there? As it relates to how I see myself, I'm not more important than you. Man, but as it relates to how I see you, you are infinitely more important than me. That's the spirit of which we should serve and give. That's the spirit of which we should minister inside of the church. Man, thanks be to God that that's the spirit that has existed in First Baptist past tense. Hey, but listen, let's make sure that spirit exists in First Baptist future tense. Man, the spirit should be, hey, I'm not more, as it relates to me, I'm not more important than you. We're all little Legos. Man, but as it relates to how I view you, man, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Man, but we get it backwards, don't we? We love to see ourselves as the mega block. Man, if they would only listen to me, if he would only listen to me. Man, we love to see ourselves as the mega block. Man, but Christ is saying, no, how we should see other people. Man, other people are more important than me. Hey, you are more important than me. And that's how we should serve each other. Man, so verse 8, verse 15, 16, 17, Jesus gives us this instruction. I want to give it to you just on your outline. We won't work our way through it. But Jesus gives us the procedure that corrects offense. Man, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go to him and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Do you notice what the goal is? The goal is that you gain a brother. The stated goal is what? That you gain a brother. Not that you lose a brother. Well, it just had to be said. Somebody's got to say it, you know. And if he gets mad, he gets mad. No, that's never the spirit. That's the wrong tone. Man, sometimes when we correct or when we interact or sometimes when we've been offended or hurt or we've seen somebody be tripped up or hurt, sometimes we respond with pride to their pride, and that's why nothing good is accomplished. Man, because I'm only retaliating out of self-defense. I'm not retaliating out of the spirit that says, man, I want to win you. I don't want to lose you. I want to win you. I don't want to lose you. The procedure that corrects the offense, notice it's private correction. That's first. That's private correction. You go to him. You go to him. Man, it's small group clarification. Verse 16, man, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more that in the mouth of witnesses, hey, listen, this is not like running intervention, ganging up on people. That's not the spirit. That's not the tone. If you're like, and I think it, and she thinks it, and they think it, and people have said this to me before. Don't you love that? That's my favorite phrase. You know, Pastor, there are some people, and what they say to me, the they family is the biggest family in any church, right? The they family. Really, who are they? Well, I don't want to say their names. They. Okay, I got it. Check them into the they family. But it's not ganging up. No, no. It's one or two mature. The spirit that's been portrayed here, humble, honest, spiritually mature people. Man, one or two going to him. Man, together. Man, listen. And would be to God that those people were spiritual enough to look at you and say, hey, listen, you're making a big deal about something. It's not a big deal. This isn't causing to sin. Why are you even confronting this person on it? It isn't causing to sin. So let's back up here and let's really think about what's the deal here. Man, but if it is causing to sin, man, this is a sin. It's harming the body. Man, well, then let's confront it with a spirit that's loving. Man, the smaller the circle, the more work that can be done. Man, look at verse number 17. He rejects this. Verse 17, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Stand up in front of the church and tell them how they were wrong so everybody knows to stay away from them. You answer me. Is that the spirit? Yes or no? No, that's not the spirit. Tell it to the church so everybody in the church puts a big black mark over the top of their forehead and they stay away from that person. Ooh, evil. You know, no. No, if that's what's being done, that's not the spirit of which is being done. Remember the stated goal. The stated goal, gain a brother. Gain a brother. Man, what's the goal? The goal is we want to win them back. Listen, what he's talking about is tell it to the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to thee as a heathen, a public man. What he's saying there is this is the spirit. This is the spirit of which I've always tried to minister with this. Right? Because we want to be careful as a church. Everybody in this room is working through stuff. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? We all have problems. We all have struggles. We all have frustrations. So if it has to be, everybody has to be perfect or you have to get out. How many of you know no one's going to be left in the building, right? I mean, we're all leaving, and I'll be the first to lead the charge out, okay? Don't amen on that point. No, everyone is dealing with different things. Everyone's in a different place. The spirit is not so much they have an issue, they have a problem that they're working through, they need some space, they need some help, they need to get in a small group class, they need some accountability. No, that's not the answer. That's not the issue. The issue is standing and teaching. Man, Jezebel, Revelation 3, she thinketh herself to be a prophetess. So she's not just attending, she's influencing. That's the point. She's not just sitting in church, getting spiritual growth, becoming, learning to be a better person. No. It's not just that. It's that she's standing. It's that she's teaching. She's lording over. She's directing. She's saying, you feel this way about him. You should feel this way about her. Look at them. Look at that. I can't believe. Tripping up. No, see, that spirit, man, with a spirit where they're affecting the body, that has to be dealt with. The spirit where they're just attending because they're currently working through some stuff and they're trying to find their center point. Man, that's the difference. And that's how we want to handle those situations. Like we don't say, well, this person has problems and I know about it. Let's kick them out of the church. No, that should never be the approach. Man, the stated goal, not to kick people out, the stated goal to gain brothers or sisters back. Hey, hear me. The stated goal to gain them back. To gain them back. Man, so we want to make sure that we have the right spirit when we deal with these sorts of things. Hear me, church. We want to make sure we have the right spirit when we deal with these things. Man, what's the right spirit, Pastor? Staying away from this spirit right here. A mega block? Pride. Pride. Well, I'm better than her because I would never. I just can't believe that. Man, Paul had a similar feeling. Man, Paul's spirit, when he saw somebody doing something that he thought was atrocious or evil or horrible, man, Paul's spirit was, man, but by the grace of God, there go I. Because that could just as easily be me, and that could just as easily be you. And he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Well, if that were my kid, whoa, you better pull back right there. Mega block, you better pull back right there because it could just as easily be you. So what's the spirit we want to keep? Hear me, church. This is it. We're done. What's the spirit we want to keep? Man, we want to keep that spirit of humility. Man, we want to keep that spirit of helpfulness. We want to keep that spirit that honors the other person. I'm not going to assume the best. Hey, listen. No, you should assume the best. Let me correct myself. Man, I'm not going to assume the worst. Hey, we're not just going to assume the worst. Well, did you hear? It must be true. So-and-so said it. They said it. They family, there they go again. No. We want to make sure we have a spirit that Christ is encouraging us here. Who's the greatest? Who cares? Who's the greatest? Who cares? Hey, peace with your brother or sister can exist because ultimately we have peace with God. Peace with your brother or sister can exist ultimately, because we have peace with God Almighty. Just for your notes, that's the last one. The peace that is offered, peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is found through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you.